Thank you for joining us at Fellowship Church. For additional information, check us out at fconline.tv.
Welcome to Fellowship Church. My name is Wilson. It is always an honor to share the Word of God. And this, when I woke up this morning seeing snow, I was thrilled. Because winter is one of my favorite seasons, and snow is one of my favorite things that fall out of the sky. And so, not hail. Hail hurts. Snow doesn't hurt. But I just want to say, it's always, I get the opportunity to speak, and I'm always take the opportunity to say thank you for letting me to do so, because it's just so awesome, and it's God's Word. So, again, my name is Wilson. I am one of the elders here at the church. And I want to share with you, some of my things that I do throughout the week. But as an elder, one of my job is to take care of the congregation spiritually, making decisions and leadership roles, taking care of the people. The second part to that is to making sure Pastor Anthony, our senior pastor, is taken care of as well. But each of the elders also have to oversee ministry as well. So some of the ministry that I oversee is him and her, which is our men and female ministry, and also oversee small group, which this segue into my announcement. So small group, as I oversee, is a good way to connect with people. So being here at the church, everyone gathered together, it's really hard sometimes to connect deeply, because everyone sit and watch this one person speak the word of God. But what small group is to go to a home church, home body, home area, community, where you connect with people and start relationship in a deeper setting, in a smaller setting. And the goal of it is connect and have relationship. And so today we are starting our small groups. We have a bunch of different small groups. We have sermon reflection. We have Israel. We have wellness and fitness, I guess. Is that right? Anyway, different types of small groups. And on the connection card at the back of it, there's just a list of different ones. And I would like to encourage you guys to look at it and mark off which small group that will be helpful, that you guys would like to join in, and get connected. Join together and worship together through just in community. So the second thing is connection card. If this is your first or second time being here, I highly encourage you guys to put your name down, and as the offering bucket comes by, drop it in, because there's a free $5 Dutch coffee. Not free $5 footlong, but Dutch coffee, which is really good. And so sign up and mark, do your connection card, drop it in. And also at the back, if you guys have a need of prayer, we would love to pray for your needs. Put it at the back of the connection card. And at the end of the service, if you need someone to pray for you, we have our prayer at night at the front. We will also love to pray, because God says when two or more gather together, He is here. So praying is good. If you have a need, we would love to pray for you. That's the end of my announcement. And that is my job here at the church. I'm volunteer leader. I don't get paid for this. So that is one of my jobs at the church. Throughout the week, I work for the state of Oregon as the state communication person with the Army. So with that, each of the Army have their communication equipment that I oversee, make sure everything is working. And the whole point is, in case of emergency, they are able to contact back to the headquarters. And my job is to oversee that and prepare and plan ahead for what is to come. So that's my daily work. During once a month on a weekend, you will see that I will not be here because I'll be gone during my Air National Guard work. In it, I am a team chief where I oversee 7 to 8 airmen and to write their report, their progress report, to their performance report, as well as their training on the equipment and also my proficiency on my understanding of the equipment. And I am in school, so I'm one class away from getting my master's degree, which is long time coming, but I'm glad. I've been learning a lot. And at home, I'm a father and I'm a husband. So putting all these things together, you can say, I am pretty busy. So I want everyone to raise their hand. Are you guys busy in your life? I would say so. So my busy may not be the same as your busy. Your busy may be like completely different. But we all can say we are busy in one way or another. One thing that we always ask ourselves is we need more time. We need more time to do stuff. We need more time so we can complete a task or complete doing this stuff. And one thing I have noticed lately when people ask me how I'm doing, my first response is busy, really busy. I'm sure you guys have said the same thing. Yeah, we're busy. We have things to do. And that is life. Because of that busyness, that can also play into us being stressful. When we are busy, we have so much going on. Things are weighing on our shoulder, and we just feel stress. One thing how I de-stress myself is play video game. Particularly play the game Halo, and particularly on normal campaign and shoot aliens. And no, not shooting people aliens, but like space aliens. It's not good to shoot people. And so that's my way to de-stress myself because I have everything going on in my life and I'm busy and that's just for me to just not think about what's happening and kind of focus on something else that's relaxing. So I want you guys to just keep that at the back of your mind, like busyness, being stressed, as we talk about what does the Bible have to say about that. And so, as we jump into our message for today, we are in Mark chapter 6, verse 30 to 56. But before I get into the scripture, let's look at the context of what had happened. Chapter 6 begins with Jesus sending his disciple out to do missionary work, two by two, to share the gospel, to share Jesus' work. And Jesus said, hey, go around town and witness to the Jews and bring nothing and let the people take care of you. And the story after that, we hear about John the Baptist got his head lopped off. Yes, lopped off, cut off. And last week, Jordan talked about how that different decision leading to that event happening. And so now, verse 30 is where we pick back up the story. And it says, the apostle returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. So the disciples come back from their missionary trip that Jesus sent them out. And they were excited. They just want to share what had happened. They want to tell Jesus the amazing things, the healing, the miracle that was performed, and they want to tell Jesus all about it. So we pick back up, they're coming back on their return. Verse 31, and Jesus said to them, come away by yourself to a desolate place and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. At this time, Jesus' ministry was growing. There were many people just coming everywhere to the point where like they couldn't even eat in a relaxing way. While they're eating, they're ministering to people. And so what Jesus did was to purposely set aside a time where his disciples get to just relax in a way that they can just, what I think of, and two things that was happening, why Jesus wanted them to go to a desolate place, was that first is to debrief what had happened on their trip, on their missionary trip. In the Army and Air Force, when a mission was complete, we have a session of debriefing as to what had happened. The whole goal is to learn from what went well, what went not so well, what can we learn, so next time when we do this again, how can we do it better? In the same way, when Jesus debriefed his disciple, I believe he's teaching his disciple to go through the same process and help them to reinforce what they have learned. The second thing I believe why Jesus wants to have a time to rest so that he can mourn for his cousin who just got his head chopped off. It's a time of grieving for him. So now, in verse 33, many people saw them going and recognizing them. And they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. So again, we're back to the story where Jesus landed on shore, and people just gathered and just in flocks, and they were just wanting to learn more about what he can teach and see the miracles that he can perform. And something that Jesus recognized was they're like people that just have lack of spiritual leadership, and he had compassion that they're just so lost that, and in a phrase he said they're like a sheep without a shepherd. In the modern day, how I put this yesterday was they're like we are all in a bus without a driver. And you can think the disaster that can come out if the bus is moving. Not a good place. But Jesus began to teach many things. From, I believe this was like early in the morning, and there he started teaching them. Verse 35. When it grew late, his disciple came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But Jesus answered them, "You give them something to eat." And they said, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they have found out, they said, 5 loaves and 2 fish. So in the other gospel, the disciple found a boy with a sack lunch. And mama did good for him to pack him a lunch on his trip, which is awesome. But when we think of loaves, like today, we think of bread, like long piece of French bread. But what that boy has is a lunch for him about this big. And so he had 5 of them. But he has the faith to share with the disciple and tell him, "This is what I have." Verse 39. Then Jesus commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat in groups by hundreds and by fifties. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciple to set before the people. And he divided the two fish among them all, and they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces of the fish and of the fish, and those who ate of the loaves were 5,000 men. What is amazing about here is that it's not just 5,000 men. It just only mentioned men, but if you add women and children, the number can go up to 20,000. So between 5,000 to 20,000, Jesus provided for them. They were all fed and were satisfied. But imagine the disciple doing the work. They're running back and forth and sharing, catering the food to the people. It's a time of work for them and for Jesus. The next verse, 45. Immediately, Jesus, made his disciple to get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. So it comes to a time where Jesus just say, hey, these people are fed. You guys go on ahead to the other side, take the boat, and go to that city, and I'll catch up with you guys a little bit later, while he dismissed. What he is purposely doing now is letting his disciple to take a rest while going to the other side, while he dismissed people. And there's a reason, and we find out in next verse, 46. After he had taken leave of them, Jesus went up on the mountain to pray. So even Jesus took a break to find time to pray. So if Jesus pray, we should pray. Verse 47. When the evening came, the boat was out on the sea. He was all alone on the land, and he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. He meant to pass by them, but when they saw Jesus walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out, for they saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. And he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased, and they were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. So at this time, Jesus was on the mountain and saw his disciple just having a hard time going to the city that they want. If you come to my small group, which I'm leading, Exploring Israel, I will share with you why the Sea of Galilee always have this turbulent wind bashing against that body of water. But I won't share that now, but this is kind of like a little teaser for you to come to a small group. I hope you guys are well teased. But, so Jesus saw what had happened, and he's walked on water. He was about to pass by them, but the disciples saw a glimpse, and they were terrified. They thought it was a ghost, and they misunderstand the power of God. They were terrified. And when Jesus spoke, they were like, oh, it's Jesus. Oh, no. Oh, my goodness. It's him. In the other gospel, it was said that it was mentioned Peter called out to Jesus to say, Lord, if you call me out, I will come to you. And Jesus says, come. And he started walking on water. I have two theories as to why it was not mentioned in Mark. The first, it could be that Mark was a disciple of Peter. And so Peter had a lot in telling the story when he told it to Mark. I think this is a theory. I think he didn't mention it's could be because he was embarrassed that he sunk. He didn't like walk too far, and he was just. But my theory number two is that because he wanted to keep the focus on Jesus and not on himself. The story is about Jesus performing miracle and not about him walking on water. And so he wanted to give God the glory and didn't mention about himself. The reason why the other gospel mentioned him walking on water is to tell the reader that if you have faith, you can do anything. Because in the other gospel, it mentioned when Peter walked on water and sank, the next thing he said, why do you have so little faith? And in those stories, it was to challenge the reader to say, this is what faith can do. But in here, what Peter trying to say is, look at Jesus, the amazing person, the power, the miracle that he had, that he is doing at that moment. So now, verse 53. When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gerasene. They didn't even make it to Bethsaida, and they went to the shore. And they, when they got out of the boat, the people immediately recognized him and ran about the whole region and began to bring the sick people on their beds to wherever they heard he was. And whenever he came into villages, cities, or countryside, they laid the sick in the marketplace and implored him that they might touch even the fringe of his garment. And as many as touched, it was made well. So again, Jesus' ministry during that time was just surrounded by people. His disciple was right there with him in this busyness time where people just surround him and seeing this miracle happening. So within these two stories, it happened within 48 hours. And as I was looking at the story as a whole, I was trying to figure out what was the big idea. What is it that God wants me to share? Because each of the story on its own had like amazing application. Like feeding of the 5,000, just the amazing power of God. Walking on water, I can share about the faith that the disciple was lacking at that time. But that didn't quite sit well at the moment when I was trying studying this. And so as I was thinking about it, as I was praying about it, I asked God, what is it that you want me to share about this? This is two completely different story. How can I do the, like looking at this as a context, what message do you want me to share? And a word that he popped into my heart was rest. As he mentioned rest, as I was looking at it, it started to reveal to me there is a pattern that God wants us to understand. And so I roll it down and I was like, well, I should think about it more and meditate it more so that make sure what I'm hearing is correct. So in my mind, I thought what would be the best way is to take a shower, be naked before God, full glory before God, and let that wash away my dirty dirt on my body with soap. But during that time, God confirmed to me, like, there's something special about rest. And the big idea I want to share with you today is be rested, then do work. There is a value about rest. So again, be rested, then do work. And I'm going to share as to what Jesus did. So when the disciple came back from their missions trip, Jesus purposely set aside time for them to go on a desert place to have a time of rest so that they can share, the disciple can share to Jesus what had happened, and just without people surrounding him. And it was also for Jesus to mourn for his cousin. But the story after that, his work was, he went and fed 5,000 people, 5 to 20,000 people. And his disciple was busy working, serving the people and hearing the lesson. And then Jesus sent his disciple away, and he found time to spend with God. And then after that, he walked on water, calmed the sea, and healed many more people. There's a pattern. There's a purpose for rest. There's a purpose to work. Why rest is needed for work. And so this is who Jesus is. Jesus was baptized. The Spirit was dwelling in him. He was in ministry. He worked. And yet, he rested. And yet, he rested. So there's two types of rest that I want to share with you guys. First is leisure rest. Second is rest in the Lord. So the first leisure rest that we all need is, as I shared in the beginning, when I'm stressed, the way for me to de-stress is to play video game, particularly shooting aliens. That's a way for me to just keep my mind away from things that are busy in my life and to not think about the stress. How we can apply this is that if you work in a job that is just physically intensive, when you go home, you don't want to do anything that is physically demanding. A good way to relax is to maybe read a book, play video games, watch TV, maybe even like do play games with your kids. Something that not physically challenging, but like mentally relaxing. Or vice versa, if you are at a job where your mind is constantly thinking, require your brain power to work through stuff, when you go home, your mind just wants to relax. A way to de-stress and not think about it, to relax, maybe go work out, ride a bike, go swimming, go hiking, go gardening, anything to do with physical and not using the mind. That means in ministry, we can all be so busy that we busy working with people, we need to find ways to have a hobby to relax away from ministry type of work. So that's the first type of rest. The second type of rest is rest in the Lord. So some of you guys are asking, how can we rest in the Lord? One of my favorite passages comes in Psalm 46:10. It says, "Be still and know that I am God." Be still. In America, we are of a society of fast-moving, fast-paced. Even like 30-second commercial, like every 3 seconds, there's one screen, and then another screen, another screen. The idea is to keep our attention on the screen. It is noise. Where we grew up with it, that we now don't know how to, we don't know how to be silenced with our own thoughts. There was a survey that was done that people given two options: sit for 30 minutes with nothing to do, or sit and watch like a political argument that they hate. And some people, majority of the people will pick the political that they don't like because they don't know how to sit in silence. So that is all of us. We are all busy. Like sitting in a car, we have the radio on. Some people at home, they gotta have the TV on. Just even though they're not watching, they just want something on the background. So, but to be rest in the Lord is to silence the noise. But not just silence from the noise, but to be filled with His Word. So that means in the midst of your rest in the Lord, it is whether you are praying, meditating, memorization, Bible reading, Bible study, anything had to do with the Word or with God. Fill in Him. But you have to silence technology, silence the noise. That is something that we have to relearn ourselves, that we can do. The reason why we need to rest in the Lord. I have a cup here. This is not a cup. This is a pitcher. But let's just say this is a cup. When I was studying a class in Intro to Chaplaincy, the class was talking about how military chaplain had to go to the front line and talk with people, and that they have to minister to them and take care of the soldiers and airmen that are on the front line. But when they come back, there's a high rate of chaplain, even senior pastor, get burnt out. So one of the questions that was asked is, how can they self-care and prevent from that happening? So I asked a chaplain friend, and he said it in like, super short and eloquently, but I'm going to expound this for here. He said, each one of us have a cup. In this cup, we have certain amount that we can pour out. As we are working or in ministry, we are pouring out to people. And pretty soon, as we continue ministering to people, this cup will be empty. And when it's empty, you have two choices. First, you either just put it down and walk away. That is burnt out. They quit ministry. Second is to rest in the Lord or let God pour back into you. In Psalm 23, 5 says, "You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflow." What that is saying is, while we are pouring out to people, we need to let God pour into our life. As God pours into our life, He pours so much into our life, it overflows. God is the living water that He never runs dry. As we are being poured into, then we can pour into others so much more. In fact, the way how I see it is, as we pour, God pours into us when we find rest in Him. If we do this every day, our cup should never be empty, should always be overflowing in abundance and blessing people or work. So, silence, being still in the Lord. We all need it. Boy, that was awkward. That was on purpose, by the way. So, we have just experienced sinning in silence. As I was watching each person here, each person made a funny face at me. Like, Haley was like, oh no, what's going to happen? I think he lost his mind. But just this was just like 20 seconds of silence. And to a presenter, like 20 seconds feels like 20 years. But this is the idea of silence. It's quiet everything else. Some of us started fidgeting. Some of us started looking at the phone. Some of us, our mind started to wander somewhere else. We do not know how to be silenced. But while I have shared silence in the Lord, fill up in his word. Think about his scripture that, or the words that he had for us, and think about those things. So if Jesus rested, we can also rest as well. What is so amazing about this? If we look at creation, God created everything in 6 days and created man on the sixth day. On the seventh day, God rested. While men, on their first day, they rested before they started working. The purpose of that is so men can come to know God, be rested in him before we do work. So that is what I would like all of us to do. Spend some time in rest in the Lord and leisure time. So the application that we can do is, I want all of us, we can all do this, is from now till Easter or even beyond, is spend 30 minutes resting in leisure time. Anything that is relaxing, leisure, like some people will be eating for 30 minutes, that will be me. And then spend 30 minutes resting in the Lord. Do this every day. We need to have that rest and let God pour into our life. Some of us might need to, throughout the whole week, so busy, we need to find one day to just relax, to rest in leisure and in God. Yesterday, I was talking to a gentleman who works for 17 years without a break. And what I saw in him, this is the year where he rests in the Lord. God provided rest for us for purpose, so that when we go back to work, we are refreshed and renewed and ready to do mighty great things for him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much that your word is filled with promises. Lord, I thank you that your word can lead us and teach us in a way that is beyond our comprehension. And yet your word is so easy to understand that we can apply so we can grow closer to you. Lord God, as you share with us how to rest, as you have demonstrated through Mark that Jesus took rest, Lord, I pray that we can also take rest. And I pray, Lord God, that when we rest, we are filling up with you and not anything else. Not of the world, not of the background noise, but to be filled with your word. And Lord, you want us to rest in you, Lord, so that we get to create this close relationship with you. Lord, you want us, you want our relationship, you want our attention. And that rest is a way for us to foster that relationship. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that each one of us know that we are all busy, that we are all stressed in one way or another. Lord, I don't know how stay-at-home mom do all the job, being with the kids, clean the house, and do all these amazing things, and yet, when the husband come home, everything seems to be perfect. They're busy. We're all busy, Lord. I pray that we purposely set aside to rest in leisure and to rest in you. Lord, I pray for those who does not know you today. As they're hearing this idea of rest, Lord God, I pray that you set in the heart that resting is good. And as they hear that resting is not just not doing anything, but to fill with your word, I pray that you will let them know what you have done on the cross. Lord, I want to say thank you, Lord, that you have died on the cross, took our sin, and you have given us the victory over sin, death, and Satan. But you didn't stay buried. You are alive today. You rose again. And I pray for those who does not know you today, Lord, I pray that they will ask you for forgiveness of their sin. And just to believe that you have forgiven them and that you are the Savior of their life. And in that moment when they do pray, give them that rest. Connect with them in relationship, Lord. And I pray for all of us who know Jesus, that we will connect with you during our rest and to be filled with your word and to learn to be still and know that you are God. Lord, once again, we thank you for your love. Thank you for Jesus. He's so amazing. And thank you for creating this world for us to give you praise like the snow. Thank you, God, for all that you have done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, we're going to continue in worship. We just worship through the words. We just worship in hearing the message. We can also continue to worship God through our tithe and offering. We can also continue worship God by partaking the communion. We can also worship God through prayer. And we can also worship by music. Would the usher please come forward? Tithe and offering is a way to worship God. It is to say that when we give back to God 10% of what he already given us, it's a way that we are obeying, being obedient to God. He gave us 100% and he only asked 10% back. So when we give not as an obligation, we give because we love God. As a bucket pass by, drop your tithe and offering, and also drop your connection card. And communion will be on the windowsill on each side of the window. There will be a wafer and juice. Don't grab the cup of juice and drink out of it. Just dip your wafer in it because we're sharing the juice with everyone. But the whole point of communion is it represents Jesus, what he did on the cross. The wafer represent his body that he broke for us. The juice represent his blood that he shed for us. And Jesus says, to do this in remembrance of me until I return. So there is a promise that Jesus will one day come back to us and pick us up. So we do this out of reverence, out of worship, and out of remembering who Jesus is. If you're not a Christian today, I would say do not partake communion. But if you're a Christian, but if you're not part of this church, you are welcome to partake communion as well. And during music time, our prayer at night will be at the front. If you need prayer, go up to those prayer at night folks and get prayer. We would love to pray for you and intercess for you and let God reveal some mightiness. Let's pray. Jesus, once again, thank you for all that you've done. Lord, as we continue to worship you, let us worship with our hearts and mind and our spirit. Let us, Lord, sing out loud to give you glory because you are worthy. As we give our tithe and offering, it's out of love for you. As we take communion, it's out of remembrance. As we pray with our heart, seeking your help. As we sing, let us just enjoy the presence that you are here. But once again, we love you, we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Fellowship Church. Please consider supporting our mission by visiting us at fconline.tv/give.